We're continuing our sermon series this weekend called Catching Fire. This is week four of a six-week series on the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about how when the Holy Spirit starts working and you can get filled with power and walk in giftedness, there's discernment that comes, there's wisdom that comes, there's even power that comes. And we talked about a man named Joseph in the Old Testament that was filled with the Holy Spirit, that walked with wisdom and power and discernment, and ultimately went from prisoner to governor in a day. It was an amazing story. We talked about the spark in the early church on the day of Pentecost, the spark when the Holy Spirit came with power. And then last week, Pastor Bill Johnson, I think, did an excellent job talking about the revolution that happened when the spark of the Holy Spirit came, how the Holy Spirit often leads people to go to people that they might not normally go to or to places they might not normally go and to speak to people they wouldn't normally speak to and do things that they would not normally do. And so today, as we continue the series, I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit gives us power. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. But I think sometimes we forget that in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties, the Holy Spirit helps us. You know that we've used as a backdrop for this series that book series called The Hunger Games. And there's a book in that trilogy called Catching Fire. And if you know anything about the Hunger Games, you know that there are these competitors, just like in the Olympic Games, that come together from different districts to compete. Only in that book series, it's a battle to the death. And when you read the stories and you watch the movies, you'll notice that there are times along the way where these competitors are playing the game in such a way as to try and gain sponsors. Folks on the outside that are watching this game play out that can provide help when they're in trouble. And the way that the help comes in the movies and in the books is there's a little parachute that'll just come floating in. Like, these games are set in the wilderness, and all of a sudden, if someone's injured and they played the game the right way, someone on the outside looking in sends a little remote control parachute that comes floating in, and when it comes in, it has just what they need when they need it. That's the role of the sponsor in that book series. I would submit to you this weekend, as we prepare to dive into the text, that God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, acts as our divine sponsor. God gives us help just when we need it. And I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles, both here and at the Wyoming campus, to turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. Two short verses. I'm not going to do the whole book of Romans justice in this sermon. I mean, it could be a year-long series in the book of Romans. But the highlights are that you need to know Romans was written by a guy named Paul. He wrote a letter to encourage the Christians in Rome, perhaps Christians that he had never even met. And he wrote this letter, and I think Paul intended for it to be a letter. What it turned into is one of the best theological documents in all of Scripture. If you want to know about the heart of Christianity and walking in step with the Spirit and what it means to be adopted into the family of God, read the book of Romans. I would challenge you to read the book of Romans this week. But I just want to touch on these two verses, verses 26 to 27. And I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. We don't do this often, but this weekend, I'm wondering if you can help me. Would you stand if you're able? We're going to read two verses together. These two verses, they'll be on the screen. And here and at the Wyoming campus, let's read Romans 8, 26 to 27 together. Go. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you would help us this weekend. I'm praying that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help us, O Lord. Help me to preach your word with boldness and passion. Help me to preach it with clarity, O God. And do something in our hearts, Lord, to prepare us to receive what you want to say. God, I pray that in the midst of this sermon, you would reveal new truth. You would convict us of areas of sin in our lives. And I pray, God, that you would be glorified by our attitude as we gather together in worship. You have been so good to us, oh God. We just come ready, hungry to learn and be led by your Spirit this weekend. It's in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray, and everyone said, amen. Go ahead and take your seats. So if you're taking notes this weekend, as I encourage you to do, I would encourage you to write this down, this thought down. The Holy Spirit is our source of help in the midst of weakness. Paul says it right there in the text. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed some help? In a situation where you needed help from someone, where you had to cry out for help from someone? Most of us have. And I was trying to think as I started to prepare this message, what's my earliest memory of needing some help? Like, I'm sure I needed help as a baby, help walking and help with all of that stuff. But my earliest memory, you know, my earliest memory of needing help is practical help. I'm going to try and demonstrate for you here. I remember it was in nursery school, and they wanted us to sit with our legs crossed. I can't even do it now. Like, I need to go do some yoga or something. I could never, and I still can't, I'm not flexible enough. I needed help learning how to sit like this. Doesn't this look uncomfortable for me? Now, I would imagine there's some of you out there that this is easy for you. Anybody that's like, it's easy to sit this style, a few of you that do yoga all the time. Even when I was doing P90X a couple years ago, like the yoga session was the hardest session, this was still hard. I remember I had to get help from my family. This might seem crazy. I had to get help to learn how to sit like this so that I could participate in class in nursery school. I remember in elementary school that there was this time where they had this jump roping competition, and I didn't know how to jump rope. I should have brought a jump rope. I can jump rope now. But I remember in one night, I had to learn how to jump rope. I was in the garage, and I was getting frustrated, and the rope kept hitting my feet. And then finally, it was like, yeah. I'm like, Rocky. Ooh, Rocky. Adrian. And then crisscross. No, I never did get the crisscross. But I needed help. Somebody had to teach me. My sisters had to teach me how to jump rope. I remember second grade. I couldn't write. I had great grades and everything else, but I couldn't write. You know, it's not good if you know stuff, but people can't read what you write. I remember my neighbor was a retired school teacher. My parents made me go to her a couple times a week just to practice handwriting. I needed help. I remember as a young man, when I worked for General Motors, I worked out in Arizona one summer. I didn't have a lot of money, and my brakes were going bad on my car. Someone gave me a great gift. They taught me how to change my brakes on my car. Who knows how to change their own brakes in here? A few of you. Come on, you can raise your hand. You don't want to raise it because you're afraid somebody in your row is going to ask you for some help. It's all right to help one another. This is church, right? But I learned how to do it. Now, I don't do it myself anymore. It's kind of a time thing. But I learned how to do it. It's a great gift. But all of those things were practical help. It wasn't necessarily crying out to the Holy Spirit, help me, Lord. But all of us can relate to being in a position where we've asked for help. I tell you, I had an experience this week where I needed help from the Holy Spirit. Like the text says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I was meeting with a couple on Thursday. I knew when they came in that there's a couple that had asked me to marry them this coming May. Young couple, cool people. I was meeting them for the first time. Just the way weddings work, the request had come in. I got some information on them, who they were, 23, 24 years old, and they wanted me to marry them. And I knew that they were living together. You say, oh, you would do a wedding for a couple that's living together before they're married? Just listen. Just listen. They came in, we met, we talked, and my prayer, even in front of them, is, Lord, help us to hear from your Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord. Help me to know what to say. And so we started talking, and we started talking about their relationship, and we started talking about the fact that they live together. And then we started talking about the Lord, like what it meant to walk in fellowship with the Lord and how to have a marriage that's founded on Christ. I need you to know that they left my office with two commitments that they made, two significant commitments. Number one, this young couple in a culture where more and more people think it's okay to live together before you get married, to have sex before you get married. This young couple made a commitment when they left my office that they are going to remain sexually pure from now until the wedding day. No more premarital sex. But the second commitment they made is why the candle is lit this weekend. And the candle is lit because This couple made the decision to surrender their lives to Christ. They prayed a prayer of surrender in their own words. And when they got done, the guy said, man, that felt good. Said, I felt like I needed to do that. See, what I need you to know is that in that situation, as I was trying to explain the heart of the gospel and who Jesus is, it wasn't my words that were going to be of utmost importance. It was going to be God's words speaking through me. Like me and my wisdom alone is not enough. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he helps us to explain the gospel. And for this young couple to be starting off their marriage surrendered to Christ, I'm like, thank you, God, you answered the prayer. A simple three-word prayer. Help me, Lord. There's variations of it. Help them, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help, Lord. God helps by the Holy Spirit. Paul says it. In our weakness, the Spirit helps us. So I don't know what your prayer life is like this weekend. I don't know what you are needing help with, but I understand that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. But I also understand that I'm giving you two verses that have a context. All right, you can't just rip verses out of context. Like, what does Paul mean when he says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness? Well, look at what comes before these verses. Verse 18 of Romans 8 says this. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Now, this is starting to get a little tricky. Just hang in there for a minute. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Now, these words may seem strange at first. What is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about the earth and how even though the earth has been corrupted and the earth is suffering, that the earth is anxiously waiting for a time of restoration. He says, say what? Like, what is Paul describing? Well, I could unpack these verses now, but I'm going to put a little teaser out there. You see, when we get done with this series on the Holy Spirit, two more weeks after this one, we're going to do a series on heaven. We call it Heaven is for Real. And this time where the earth is anticipating restoration has connections with what we're anticipating in terms of heaven, life after death, what every Christian is yearning for. And I would just challenge you, if you come back, somewhere in that series, we'll unpack these verses. We've given you invite cards in the family news to use to invite your friends to that series on heaven. So heaven is for real, is coming. But let's go on to what he says in verse 22. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in the hope we were saved, in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Now look at what Paul has done. Paul says that creation, the earth itself, is waiting for restoration. And then Paul uses an adoption metaphor and says that even us as human beings are waiting for our bodies to be redeemed so that our adoption as sons and daughters of God can be finalized. And he even introduces a childbirth analogy there and describes groaning. And if you've ever been around somebody having labor pains, you know what that groaning can be like. I believe that this may be the best way to sum up everything that Paul is saying here. If the Holy Spirit is our source of help in times of weakness, then as we wait on the help of the Holy Spirit, we can wait with patience and with hope. See, if you've watched someone going through labor pains, then you know what this is like when they're groaning and waiting with anticipation for this baby to come, but there's some excitement, like, please get this thing out of me right now. Like, please let this delivery happen soon. And we wait with this patience that I know I got to wait out the process. I know it's going to come in due time, but there's this hope that everything's going to be all right. I don't know what you need help with. I'll tell you, this week I polled the congregation on Facebook. I just threw a post out there on Facebook. I said, you know, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's what Paul says. What is it that you need help with this week? Some of you may have seen that post. And here were some of the things that people responded with when I asked, what do you need help with this week? Grieving, sickness, parenting, peace that passes all understanding, fear, doubt, discernment, tough decisions, reconciliation, anxiety, mental health. And I think if I were to poll each one of you, the list would keep on growing. What do you need help with? And yet Paul confirms that it's not going to be a little parachute that comes down from heaven, but the person of the Holy Spirit himself will come alongside of us and give us help in the midst of weakness. And as we wait on that help, we can wait with the same kind of hope and patience that a mother that's in labor waits for the baby to come. We can wait with the same kind of hope and patience that the earth is waiting for in terms of restoration. We can wait with the hope that comes from a faith in Christ because we know that God not only hears prayers, but he also answers prayers. So what do you need help with this weekend? Are you grieving? Are you mourning? Are you suffering? Are you sick? Are you in pain? Are you doubting? Do you think that your prayers only hit the ceiling? Paul says that the Spirit helps us. You might say, Pastor Kyle, you don't get it. The pain that I feel, the emptiness that I feel, the suffering that I'm experiencing, the doubts that I have, there are times when I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to ask God for. And isn't it cool that Paul in the text confirms that it's normal in the Christian life that there'll be times when we do not know how to pray? Like, I want you to feel freed up this weekend. Some of you, you watch when people worship, they're willing to put their hands up in the air, and you say, oh, I can never put my hands up in the air. Or they're willing to go down front and kneel. Or they're willing to sing out loud, and you say, oh, I can never do that. I was even in a worship gathering. Like, I hadn't been in one of these in a long time. I was in a worship gathering this week where a guy started running around the worship gathering, screaming. He was screaming, there's only one God, right? It's an older guy, and I thought he's about to start running, and sure enough, he started running, and he's like, woo, woo, glory to God, glory to God. And the communicator on the platform said, wouldn't you like to be freed up like that? Like, some people get more excited about a touchdown in football, a goal in soccer, than we do about the work of the Holy Spirit at times. And so I don't know what's got you locked up, but wouldn't you like to be freed up? And when you get freed up, you start to realize that, you know what? There are going to be times when I don't know how to pray, and I don't have to feel guilty about that, because Paul affirms it here, that there will be times when we don't know how to pray. Maybe you've been there. I can think of a family right now that's going through probably the roughest two-year stretch that I've seen a family go through in a while. Family members that have passed away. Sicknesses that have come up out of the blue, pain, loss, grief. They don't know how to pray other than help me, Lord. And that simple prayer is simple but powerful. Go back to the verse. Look at what verse 26 says. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Intercede, that sounds like one of those churchy words. You know what it means to intercede? It simply means to go on behalf of someone to someone else for the purpose of conversation. Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit goes to the Father on our behalf for the purpose of conversation about where we're struggling, about our weakness. So in other words, even when we don't know how to pray, even when we can't express what we need to express about parenting, about anxiety, about grief, or about loss, we can be confident, we can wait with hope and patience that even when we can't articulate it to God ourselves, the Holy Spirit goes on our behalf to have conversation with the Father. Isn't that good news? I don't know about you, but that's awesome news, because I can tell you firsthand testimony, there are times when I don't know how to pray. You can't force somebody to change and surrender to God. You can't force somebody to walk in their new identity in Christ. When you see somebody around you doing knuckleheaded things that affect you, you cannot force them to change. But there is one who is able to nudge and prod and convict and transform, and he is the Holy Spirit. And even in our weakness, when you see your child that's sick and hurting, when you see your loved one that's going through suffering and pains, there is a God that can provide the comfort that's needed. There's a Holy Spirit that can pray on our behalf, even when we don't know how to pray. He's our divine sponsor, everybody. He's the one that gives us help, even when we don't see where it might come from. There's a psalm, Psalm 121. We sang about it this weekend. David writes, or the psalmist writes these words, "I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." You see, what I'm here to tell you this weekend is that if you're struggling, there's help. If you're hurting, there's help. If you're discouraged, there's help. We can talk all about the power of the Holy Spirit. We can talk all about how the Holy Spirit sends us. We can talk about the gifts and the fruit and the filling. But if you don't get the fact that God doesn't want to leave you alone, that God is for you and not against you, that God wants to help you in whatever you're going through, then you might miss one of the most important aspects of friendship with God. Some of you, you've worked out before. You've been in the gym where you get to that bench press. You're on the bench. I should have had a bench press up here on the platform. That might have been a little embarrassing. Get some 15-year-old up here that can bench more than me. I wouldn't have done that. Maybe I could have had some fake weights, like 1,000-pound weights. But you know, like when you're trying to bench press, you can go, but then there's that point where it's like, oh, I can't get it up. I can't get the bar up any higher. And that's when you ask for a spotter, right? And the role of the spotter is just to give that little nudge, that little lift to get the bar up. The Holy Spirit plays that role in our lives. He's that spotter that comes alongside of us so that we don't have to try and carry all our burdens alone. And then he says, in verse 27, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." If you're taking notes, I will write this one down. Our prayers are most effective when our hearts are aligned with the will of God. You see, if we talk about God as our divine sponsor, our help in the midst of weakness, we can't miss this point. That this message is really about the confidence we can have in prayer. Right? If God is our source of help, if the Holy Spirit comes to help us, then what that means is that when we pray, we can be confident that the Holy Spirit is praying on our behalf, knows exactly what to ask the Father, knows exactly what we need. It's like the old school Christians used to say, "He may not show up when you want him to, but he's always on time. He's an on-time God," right? Because the Holy Spirit knows what we need even before we ask for it. So I know there's some people that sit in church week after week and you say, "I can't say it to anybody. If I verbalize it, I might sound like a heretic, but I doubt that God cares about my prayers." And what I need you to know is whatever's going on, reconciliation that needs to happen in your family, children that you're worried about, health issues, finances, whatever it might be, the Spirit of the Lord knows. And the fact of the matter is you can walk in confidence that the Spirit is representing you well. But our prayers are most effective when that "help me, Lord" prayer is in alignment with God's will. What do you mean, Pastor Kyle, God's will? God knows what we need. Do you believe that? You believe that God is a good Father that knows what we need? And so sometimes we might say, "Help me, Lord, give me $1 million. If you just gave me $1 million, I'd take care of all my debts, I'd help people in my family, and I'd even give a little bit to the church." But that may not be what you need. This is what you want. And that may not be in accordance with God's will for your life. You pray, God, just, I need to be in a relationship, Lord. I'm single. Now, I know you say to Paul that singleness might be a good thing, but Lord, for me, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a woman, whatever it might be. That may be a way to pray, but what if God's will is for you to be single, to be totally dependent on Him, not distracted by the things of this world, like please pick up some milk on the way home from church? Not that that would be a distraction. I would love to serve my family in that way. I'm just saying that's the first thing that came to mind as Petra texts me to get biscuits and cheese and eggs and juice and all of that on the way home. There's a song, In Jesus' Name, by Darlene Sheck. I love these lyrics. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken. Isn't that a good lyric? We will not be moved. Jesus, You are here, carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome. Yes, He has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, You are here. I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. You see, when we read Paul's words here about the Spirit helping us in our weakness, about the Spirit interceding for us even when we don't know how to pray, notice that it said the Spirit will do it with groans that can't even be expressed. It didn't say you would groan with groans that can't be expressed. It said the Spirit would groan with groans that can't be expressed. When we understand all of that backdrop, then when we get to one of the most quoted verses in Scripture, Romans 8:28, you know this one, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose, then we understand what that really is all about. You see, that verse there is not necessarily a comfort when somebody has just been downsized from their job, or somebody has gone through a bitter divorce, or somebody's just been diagnosed for cancer, and then you come up and tell them, well, you know, God works all things for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. Like, don't just quote that verse by itself. Remind them that in our weakness, the Spirit helps us. That as they go through the trial, the Spirit will be there to help them. That they don't have to walk through what they're walking through alone. And then because of God's companionship, because God is our divine sponsor, because God is our help in the midst of weakness, then we know that all things can work together for good because we got the Spirit of the living God walking with us and abiding with us. Don't just rip the verse out of context when you quote it. Give him the whole story. Paul knew it firsthand. He had been shipwrecked. He had been beaten. He had been abused for sharing his faith in Christ. And at the end of the day, he could say with confidence, but in the midst of my suffering, the Spirit helps me in my time of weakness. So I just want to pray for us this weekend. Because I don't know what it is that you need help with. But I know that the Spirit that helped Paul then is the same Spirit that can help us now. The same Holy Spirit that filled Joseph in the Old Testament and sparked the day of Pentecost in the New Testament is the same Holy Spirit that wants to walk alongside us this weekend. So would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I know, Lord, that You are able. I know, Lord, that You're able to help us, Lord. God, I pray that You would help me know how to shepherd this congregation. I pray, Lord, that You would help us know how to rely upon You. Lord, so many of us, we're raised as, and when we're children, we're raised to be independent, but the reality, God, is that You've called us to be dependent upon You, to be some independent, dependent people, Lord. It seems like an oxymoron, God, but You've called us to be dependent upon You and Your Holy Spirit. So, God, whatever anyone in these seats this weekend are in need of, God, I pray that You would help. Help, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us in the areas where we need Your help, God. Help us to let go of our pride and our arrogance, God. Help us to be willing to ask for Your help, Lord. And when we cry out for help, Lord, give us what we need, Lord. Not everything that we want, but everything that we need, oh God. We love You. We trust You. We want to walk in obedience to You, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.